Thank you for joining us. We hope this message will be a blessing to you as you experience the love of God, grow in community, and discover and live out God's purpose for your life. Now, let's get into the message with Pastor Will.
Before we get into our message today, I really want to kind of do a quick little spin off of what we were talking about last Sunday, and it was really dealing with this area of giving God praise. So let me start off with our theme scripture, and then we're going to go look at Psalm 33. Isaiah 43:19 says this, "Behold, I am doing a new thing." Remember, we talked about a new thing being a fresh thing that God is doing. And then it says, "Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it and know it? And will you not give heed to it? I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert." So last week, if you joined us during service, we talked about when we sense God doing a new thing, we should sing unto the Lord a new song. And so before we get into our message today, I just want us to take a moment, right? Because we're not gathering in person, so we miss our praise and worship team leading us into that place of praising and worshiping God. So if we can just take a moment and really just do this at home. Remember, Psalms 33 verse 1 says this, "Rejoice in the Lord, O you righteous, for praise from the upright is beautiful." And so remember, we talked about that word beautiful means that it is suitable or that praise from the upright fits. It's something that we should be doing. So right where you are, I'm going to invite you just to take a moment and just really just thank God for what it is that He is doing in your life right now. And if you know that God is doing something new, He's doing something fresh, He's doing something amazing, just right where you are, before we get into the word of the Lord, let's just take a moment and just thank God. In your own way, if you need to kind of step aside so that you can have that space somewhere and just begin to just magnify God and just give God a praise and just say, "God, we thank you so much for your faithfulness. Thank you so much for your goodness. Thank you so much for your love, God. Thank you for being with me, God." If you know God has really healed some areas of your life, God, thank you for healing me. Thank you for building relationships, God. Just thank you so much for what it is that you have done. I love where Lamentations chapter 3, verse 22 to 23 says this in the King James Version. It says, "It is of the Lord's mercies, His loving kindness, that we are not consumed, because His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness." Do you know that song? It says, "Great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hands has provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me." Join me in a word of prayer as we prepare to get into the word. Father, thank you so much for your faithfulness. Thank you for your goodness. And even in the midst of us being unable to gather in person, God, thank you so much for your presence that dwells amongst us right where we are. And so, Father, right in this space, God, we pray right now, wherever we are listening to this word, God, wherever we are communing with you, Father God, that your presence will saturate that place. I pray right now, God, in the name of Jesus, that if there's any distractions that's in these different places, that your peace, God, will begin to take control of the atmospheres right now. I pray right now, God, where if we're not settled, God, that we will settle, that your Holy Spirit will help us settle into a place to be able to receive your word. Father, thank you, God, that praise is fitting for the upright. It is what we should do. And so, God, we close this moment of prayer, God, just thanking you. Your word says, "And with thanksgiving, God, we thank you, God, with our petitions, our prayer, and with thanksgiving, God, we thank you for what it is that you're doing." Now, Holy Spirit, we pray that you will speak to us now, in Jesus' name, amen. So let's get into the word of the Lord. A few weeks ago, we took a look at Isaiah 43, verse 1. So if you got your Bibles, and we'll be popping some of the scriptures up on the screen, but I encourage you in this moment, if you need to take a moment, grab that Bible, grab that notepad, grab that pen, and so that we can dive into the Word of the Lord together. I encourage you to write down whatever it is that you feel or sense God sharing with you. So Isaiah chapter 43, verse 1. It says this, "But now thus says the Lord, He who created you, O Jacob, He who formed you, O Israel." Listen, it says, "Fear not, for I have redeemed you." He says, "I have called you by name." He says, "You are mine." So today we're going to take a look at the area where it says, "He who created you, O Jacob, He who formed you, O Israel." But I don't want to leave out the bottom portion where it says, "Fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine." So before we get into this deep word here, receive this portion for a moment. The first thing that God says is, "Fear not." You know, this area of fear is almost like being paralyzed or being so fretful that we're afraid to move forward to do what it is that God has called us to do. So the first thing is, He says, "Fear not." Well, why do I not have to fear? Why do God tells me, "Fear not"? The next part says, "For I have redeemed you." What does that mean? That means that God found me where I was, even if I'm a believer, if I find myself lost in a certain space, if I find myself wandering, right? Wandering or wondering, God says, "For I, as your kinsman redeemer, I have redeemed you. I have rescued you. I have delivered you." And then He says, "I have called you by name. You are mine." God is personal. It's not, you know, he's not just looking at us as if it's just a crowd of people. God is literally saying, "I have called you by name." Can you receive that? Praise God. "Fear not, for I have redeemed you." God says, "I have called you by name." And then He says, "You are mine." I love the illustration, and I think I shared it in service one time. It's as if it is the groomsman that goes to find his bride, right? And then he receives his bride as his own. He says that, "You are mine." But I want to dive into the portions there where it says, "He who created you, O Jacob, He who formed you, O Israel." If you can go here with me as we look at this area, as we dig into this. When God is saying that He who created you, He's talking about when He created, when He made us in His image and after His likeness. Come on, you remember in Genesis 1 where God says, "Let us make man in our image after our likeness." So when God is saying He who created you, He's really speaking to the point before we were even born. God is talking about, "I am the one that created you." But then He goes on and He says, "O Jacob." So O Jacob is the person that we are born into, right? We're born into sin. We're shaped in iniquity, right? So first God says, "Spiritually, I created you." But then you were born into this person called Jacob. And we're going to dig into who Jacob was in the Bible. But then God says, remember, because God says, "For I have redeemed you, so I'm not going to give up on you. I'm not going to give up on the fact that you are Jacob and that you may be living your life this type of way." So He says, there is a process, there is a formation, there is a transformation that takes place, and that is the part where God says, "And He who formed you," and who is He forming you into? O Israel. So the reality is, praise God, that God created us in his image and after his, are his likeness. But there is this person that he has called us to be. But there is this person that we are right now. So when you look at this, it's God, wow, you made me in your image and after your likeness. You created me. But the person that I was born into and the person that I've been living to be is this person of Jacob. But then it says, and then he who formed you and forming, and you're making me into that person called Israel. Praise God. Listen to this. God says, I know who it is that I created you to be. Though you may be Jacob right now, I won't stop working in your life for Israel to be formed. It is not that God is looking past Jacob. He won't get stuck in who Jacob is. Let me, if we can receive this and make this very personal as we're looking at this Isaiah 43 verse 1. Look at this again. God is saying this. By inspiration, God is saying this. Maybe he's saying this to you today. I know who I created you to be. Right? So before you were even formed during in your mother's womb, I know who I predestined and I know who I created and I know who I called you to be. And he says, though you are this person right now, in this example, Jacob, though you are this person right now, though you are living this way right now, God says, I won't stop working in your life to form or transform you into the person that I've called you to be. So can I encourage somebody right now? Regardless of where you are right now, please know that when we're talking about in Isaiah 43, 19, when we're talking about when God says, behold, I am doing a new thing. Listen, the reason why God is doing a new thing, because he is constantly transforming and forming us into the person that he called and predestined us to be. Praise God. So let's look at this person called Jacob. And I pray that you'll continue to write some things down as you receive this. We find Jacob in Genesis chapter 25. And if you look at the name of Jacob, the name, what does his name mean? His name literally means supplanter, trickster. One translation calls it swindler. He takes by the heel his brother. So if you remember the story, there was Jacob and Esau in their mother's womb. But Esau, if you remember the story in Genesis 25, Esau comes out first. So he is born first, but Jacob is literally holding the heel of his brother. As time goes on, there's this moment when Esau comes from the field and he says that he's hungry. And Jacob said, hey, I'll give you some of my stew if you would sell to me your birthright. So he tricks his brother into selling him his birthright. Or if you remember that as time went on and Isaac, who was the father of Esau and Jacob, as time went on, Isaac's eyes became very dim, so he really couldn't see that well. And Jacob went in and tricked his dad so that he could receive the blessing that Esau was supposed to receive. So Jacob, his name, supplanter, trickster, schemer was another name. That was the name. And Jacob began to live that out as he was actually living his life. There was these moments where he either tricked his brother Esau or he either tricked his dad so that he could receive the blessing of the firstborn as well. But then there's this moment, and this is where we're going to meet up together in Genesis chapter 32. When Jacob is afraid for his life and he thinks that his brother Esau is going to kill him because Esau literally said, I'm going to kill him. So Jacob is running for his life. And by this time he has family and he has a lot of flock and all of that. And what Jacob does is he's sending all of these gifts ahead of him before he meets his brother Esau, hoping that it will soften the heart of his brother Esau. And his brother Esau, once he saw Jacob, he would not want to kill him. So he sends these gifts and he sends his servants. And then he gets to the point where he literally sends his family ahead of him as well. And this is where we meet Jacob in Genesis chapter 32, verse 21. I'm going to read out of the Amplified Classic Edition. And Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him until daybreak. Can we make this personal right now? Can you receive this right now? It says in Jacob, in the midst of everything, received this, in the midst of everything that was going on in the life of Jacob. If you can just again picture that when him and his brother was born, Esau came out first and Jacob was holding his heel. As they grew up, Esau came and said, I'm hungry. And Jacob said, hey, I'm going to give you something to eat if you sell me your birthright. So he took his birthright. And then remember, Jacob gets to the point where he pretends to be Esau and he receives the blessing that from his father that was actually for Esau as well. But God still continued to prosper Jacob, and he began to grow with his family and his livestock and everything as well. But he gets to this point where he realized that, man, I'm afraid for my life. I am afraid that when my brother Esau sees me, he's actually is going to kill me. So Jacob is left alone. And it says capital M, and a man wrestled with him until daybreak. Can I share this and right in the midst of this, in this area dealing with Jacob being left alone? Sometimes we cannot recognize the fresh thing that God is doing in our life because we won't be left alone with God. Is God challenging us in this time, in this season, and even us right now? Because if you listen to this recording, you may just be alone as you're listening to it. We can't gather together because of the snow that's coming or the storm that is coming. And we just find ourselves maybe sitting in the living room. Maybe you're driving in the car. Maybe you're on your lunch break at your job. Wherever you may be, maybe you're right now alone. And that's exactly where God wants you to be. Because again, sometimes we cannot recognize the new thing or the fresh thing that God is doing in our life because we refuse to be left alone in devotion with God. It seems as if we are always pulling people into our space. But for some, maybe we're always pulling movies into our space. Maybe for some, you're always pulling games into your space. Or it seems as if there always has to be something going on in your space. And maybe in this season, in this time right now, maybe God is actually saying that I just want you to be alone with me. And it says, while they were alone, it says a man wrestled with Jacob until daybreak. Now, listen, I love this because is the wrestling dealing with Jacob and this man, or is the wrestling dealing with Jacob and himself? I believe this, that every time we step into God's presence, it's as if it is a mirror. It is a reflection of where we are. And so every time we're reading the Bible is like a mirror. It's showing us who we are. Every time we step into, as we were trying to do it, like leading you into praise and worship just for a moment before we stepped into Word. Every time we step into praise and worship, every time we step into God's presence, it's a mirror to show us who we are. So was this wrestling match really between Jacob and the man? And of course, the man is God. But was it between Jacob and God? Or was the wrestling really between Jacob and Jacob, but it was God trying to reveal to Jacob who Jacob really was? And in order for God to be able to show Jacob who he really was, he had to get Jacob alone. Praise God. Verse 25, Genesis 32. And it says, and when the man, again, capital M, so we're talking about God. And when the man saw that he did not prevail against Jacob, he touched the hollow of his thigh, and Jacob's thigh was put out of joint as he wrestled with him. I believe this, that every time we spend some quality time with God, we come out of it with something significant. Something changes. Maybe again, in this moment, you're writing something down that will remind you. But for Jacob, it says that his thigh was put out of joint. So that means that he left out with a physical injury. There was something that would always remind Jacob of this moment, this encounter with God. Listen, so I challenge us that even right now, as we're spending time listening to this word, I pray that even after we listen to this message, that you will continue to sit down and spend time with God, and that you will walk out of this space knowing that you had an encounter with your Heavenly Father. Again, maybe it is that you're just writing something down, but I pray that it will be something significant, something that you can look back on and say, wow, this was the day, this was the moment that I actually had some type of encounter with my Father. Verse 26, then he, the man, God, said, let me go, for day is breaking. But Jacob said, I will not let you go unless you declare a blessing upon me. So it's letting us know that day was breaking. So that means that it must have been night. So it was in, sometimes we have these songs that talk about, it was in the midnight hour, right, that God visited me. It was the midnight hour that I got my breakthrough. It was in the midnight hour when things changed. But it was in the midnight. It was dark when God and Jacob had, I'll call it this wrestling match. But then the man, which is God, says, hey, let me go. Day is breaking. But what we started out in is actually ending. There is no need to wrestle with me or wrestle with this any longer. God says, let me go. Is it possible, if we can think about this for a moment, that many times we step into God's presence with our minds set on one thing, but in the midst of this interaction with God, listen to this, something has shifted, but we have not recognized that it shifted. Maybe when you stepped into this moment of you listening to this message or you listening to this word, you had some type of concern on your mind, some type of worry on your mind, some type of burden. But as you're spending time with God, God is saying the day is breaking. It's not the same. But we're holding on. We're actually looking for God to do something else significant. And God is saying, just the fact that you stepped into my presence, that thing is changing. That thing is breaking. Listen, so was God saying to Jacob, let me go? Or was he saying to Jacob, I need you to let Jacob go? I need you to let go of whatever it is that you stepped into my presence with. Think about that. If you got your notepad and pen and writing it down, what are some things that's on your mind that you're praying to God about? And listen, and when we enter into God's presence, do we leave out of it with the same concerns? But what if God is saying, listen, the day is breaking. It's not the same as when you entered in. So I need for you to let it go, right? That song, right, from Frozen, let it go, let it go, let it go, let it go, let it go. And it's God saying to us, please, please, please hear this. Do not leave out of my presence holding on to the same person that you were when you first entered into this moment. Remember, God's presence, when we spend time with God, it is like a mirror showing us who we are, and God is reflecting back to us. So if we take a moment to really see, like, wow, God, I thank you that maybe there's not a 100% transformation of this situation or who I believe that I am, but something has changed. Praise the Lord. And can I recognize that something has shifted? Verse 27 says this, and the man, again, when we're saying the man, we're talking about God. The man asked him, what is your name? Wow. Listen to this. I want to stop right there for a moment. And the man asked him, what is your name? Remember, verse 26 and verse 26, the man, God, was saying, hey, let me go because day is breaking. And remember, Jacob says this. Jacob says, I will not let you go unless you declare a blessing upon me. Listen, but what Jacob was not getting, please hear this, what Jacob was not realizing is that just the mere fact of having an encounter with God was a blessing. What was he waiting for? You know, and sometimes we got to think about that. What are we waiting for? Can you write that down if you're writing something down? What am I waiting for? What am I waiting for? Just the mere fact that I'm spending time with God in his word, that I'm spending time praising the Lord, that I'm spending time in prayer and devotion is a blessing. So what am I waiting for? Jacob was waiting for something, and I understand it. Because Jacob thought that his brother Esau was going to kill him. So whatever it was that he was looking for, it was, God, I need you to do something transformational in me so that when I encounter my brother Esau, I can stay alive. But God is letting him know, like, look, I need for you to let me go, or I need you to let Jacob go. But Jacob was still holding on and waiting for something. But in the midst of this conversation, and I can imagine Jacob probably almost set the tone of my voice right now. He was saying all of this, no, I won't let you go until you declare a blessing upon me. But then God, I love the way God does things like this. God comes in the midst of this conversation and he says, what is your name? Whoa. And the scripture says, in shock of realization, it's as if in that moment when God asked Jacob his name, Jacob got it. Like, whoa. In shock of realization, Jacob lowers his voice and whispering, he said, Jacob, supplanter, schemer, trickster, swindler. Sometimes we can't see the new thing that God is doing, listen, because we are still wrapped up in our old identity or our core belief of who we are. In the midst of this wrestling, listen, in the midst of God trying to transform who Jacob was, remember in Isaiah 43:1, remember he says, he who created you, O Jacob, he who formed you. So listen to this. This whole encounter is God trying to form Jacob into this new person to Jacob, but this person who God called him to be, who was Israel. But he had to get Jacob to see who he was. I love this. This is like the GPS. You can't move forward to where you go until you're able to relocate where you currently are. And sometimes it's hard for us to move forward because we won't come to the realization like Jacob did. This is who I am. I love that. That God says, and what is your name? And Jacob, in shock of realization, it's as if the mirror, he finally saw it, the dust cleared. And Jacob finally is looking at himself face to face. And he finally realized, oh my goodness. And he accepts it. He says, I'm Jacob. The supplanter, I'm the schemer, I'm the trickster, I'm the swindler. Can I say this to us? Don't be afraid to confront who you are right now in God's presence. That's important. Don't be afraid to say, you know what? I know this is who I am and this is where I am, but I don't mind confessing that in your presence because, God, I know that this is a safe space. I'm reading your word right now, God. I'm praying and worshiping you. And, God, I know that I don't have it all together or things are not the way that I want it. And I'm okay confessing that in your presence. That's a safe space to do so. Because it is from that place that God, listen, is able to show us not just who we are right now, but who it is that he has called us to be. I'm going to say this again. Sometimes we can't see the new or fresh thing that God is doing in our life because we are still wrapped up in our old identity. At times it is difficult for us to move forward in who God called us to be because we are holding on to who we believe we are. Verse 28 says this, and God said, your name shall be called no more Jacob, supplanter, schemer, trickster, swindler, but Israel, which means contender with God. God says this, for you have contended with and have power with God and with men and have prevailed. In other words, God is saying, and I can say this to somebody, if I can say this to you, God is saying, you did not give up. You did not give in. Not only did you not give up on God, you also did not give up on relationships. Talking about with his brother Esau. And God says, no more, no more. And we have to receive this. We have to receive this. God says, no more shall your name be called Jacob. Praise God. He says, but Israel. So God, if you go back to Isaiah 43, verse 1, he who created you, okay, this is who you are, O Jacob, but he who formed you, O Israel. So God is always trying to get us to become the person that he predestined us to be. Sometimes that has to take place in an environment where we are alone and we are by ourselves and we are in a wrestling match, but not with God. With ourselves, but with God. And that's the reason why verse 28 says you are a contender with God. That means that you hooked up with God to deal with who you currently are. Can I say this to someone? Do not fight this battle against who you currently are by yourself. Fight the battle with God, not apart. Why? Because he is the one that's working in me to make me into the person that he predestined and called me to be. Final verse, verse 29. Listen to Jacob. Then Jacob asked him, he asked God, he asked him, tell me, I pray you, what in contrast is your name? But God said, why is it that you ask my name? And the angel of God declared a blessing on Jacob there. Remember we talked about this? God says, Moses says, when the people ask me, who sent you? Who is this? Tell them that I am who I am. But the important thing, this is what God is saying. The important thing, Jacob, is that you know who you are. You now know your name. Praise God. And then at the end, God declares a blessing upon him. Isaiah 43, 1. But now thus says the Lord, he who created you, O Jacob, I come to grips of who I am now. But he who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I've come for you. I've called you by name. And God is saying to us today, every day, praise God, you are mine. So let me leave you with three questions to ponder upon. Is God calling you into his presence? Remember, we talked about Jacob being left alone. Is God calling you into his presence? Number two, is God trying to get you to see who you are right now so you can become who he created you to be? And the final one, in the midst of that process, who is God forming you to be? Praise God. Father, I thank you so much for this word. I thank you for this time that many of us are spending alone with you. I pray right now, God, that you will help us to settle down and remain settled. Help us to stay there with the intensity that Jacob had, the fight that Jacob had, the wrestle that Jacob had, that he didn't want God to leave until God declared a blessing upon him. And by him staying in that place, he was able to receive a transformation to shift from Jacob to Israel. God, I pray right now Help us to settle in your presence. And I pray that it just doesn't become just a one-time experience, but God, I pray that it becomes something consistent that we do. I pray right now, God, that even if there is any that is listening to this message and they have not yet had that wrestle with you, they have not yet come to the conclusion, God, that they need you as their personal Lord and Savior, I pray, God, right now in this moment, that they'll even lift up a prayer, they'll lift up a cry, and they'll say that I need you, I receive you as my personal Lord and Savior. Forgive me of my sins. I invite you into my heart to be my Lord and Savior. So, Father, thank you for what it is that you are doing in our life. Thank you, God, that you don't give up on us. Praise God. There's a song that says, don't give up on God, for he won't give up on you. God is able. Father, we lift these things up to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, many blessings to you. You be safe. We look forward to gathering with you again as things clear up. But in the meantime, spend time with God, meditate in his word, pray, praise and worship God, because it is fitting for you as the righteous. In Jesus' name, God bless you. Amen.
Thank you once again for listening to Pastor Will's message. We hope that it has been a blessing to you today. Our goal is to help you experience God's love, grow in his love, and live out his purpose for your life. We invite you to join us live each Sunday at 11 a.m. to hear Pastor Will's message. For more information, encouraging messages, and events, please visit us online at purposechurchde.org.